reasons to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here on this Tuesday. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday here with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. This radio program, WGOD, is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesdays at 6 p.m., and you are invited to attend one of our services. God's doing an awesome work at our church. You are invited to attend one of them. You know what to expect if you enjoy this radio program, WGOD. You're going to hear now the sermon I just preached on Sunday. It's one of my favorite sermons to preach, and the Lord's given me this over 10 years ago now, and every 3 or 4 years, I blow the dust off this, update it, and preach it. It's called The Winning Mindset. Its origins is Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, where the Lord Jesus commends the pastor or the messenger, the spiritual leader of the church there. I forget which church that is. When he says, and he talks about Antipas, who was his faithful witness. Actually, martus is the Greek word. Faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. And as history has it, this guy, Antipas, was burned alive in a bronze kettle. And I was wondering, how did this guy get through that? And we ask ourselves that question many times in the Bible, and those are the places we're going to go to today and look at the fortitude of various people. The three Hebrew, let's call them teenagers probably, in the burning fiery furnace. What did they have? Well, they had reckless abandon like I used to have when I was a teenager and the stupid stuff that I did. There's Daniel in the lion's den. There's the King David and Goliath. There's David's attitude. When I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. There's the Apostle Paul, last thing he wrote at the end of his life. Everyone forsook me except one, and he stood by my side. That's where we're going here today. This will play today, wrap up tomorrow, Wednesday. Wednesday night, I will be in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. Love to see you for service Wednesday night. Here we go. This is part one of this message now, The Winning Mindset.
Ha, mine's got writing on mine. Accumulated through the many years of preaching this sermon. But I see it's been 4 years since I've preached it. And since none of us are professional Christians yet, we can keep on practicing this play, right? Right? We practice and practice. We practice this play until we know the playbook and until we're able to do, like, well, let's find out the winning mindset, or else we could call this the God compound. Let's pray before we get started, because without the Lord's blessings, we're just wasting our time here this morning. Lord, we exalt you here in your house. We approach you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask for your blessings now, Lord, on the preaching and teaching of your word. Bless all the parties involved. Bless your word like you promised. Bless me if you don't mind. Bless everyone here with ears to hear. Bless everyone that's going to hear it later on the radio. Bless everyone that's going to watch this on YouTube later today. Bless those that are watching on Facebook. Help us all to be doers of your word and not just hearers. We pray for your supernatural strength from on high. We praise you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. We ask these things. Amen. Okay. Only one verse for our launching point in the book of Revelation, and that is on the handout here, Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. We're going to be going to a couple different places. We're going to be going to Daniel chapter 3 coming up in a few minutes. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. The Lord Jesus speaking. He says, I know your works. Now he's talking to the, what I think is the pastor of this church, the spiritual leader, the angelos, the messenger. Unfortunately translated as angel in most Bibles. But he's talking to the messenger here of this church. He says to him, he says, I know your works. And where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. All right, I want to talk today about this faithful brother named Antipas. Now, as history has it, this man Antipas was burned alive in a bronze kettle. So I got to be thinking, how did he do it? How can a person have the fortitude to persevere under such a trial as this? And you thought maybe that your trial was intense, that you're going on or going through. Imagine this, being burned alive in a bronze kettle. By the way, could you do that? Could you walk into a scorching hot kettle whistling, fly me to the moon? Someone said I had the Dean Martin jacket on today. It's fly, oh, that's Frank Sinatra. Fly me to the moon. Do you hate your life that much? One of the verses on the handouts written out on mine. I don't think it's on yours. And that's John 12, 25. Those who love their lives will lose it. Those who hate their lives will keep it. What gave this man, this is what I want to know. Let's see if we can, well, we will answer the question today. What gave this man the fortitude to stand tall like this under trial? As we examine that question this morning, I want to go through the Bible and look at others who faced similar trials and how they overcame. So if you would please, let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Everybody there? Take thine ease, Willis. All right, now Daniel's three friends were forced to bow down and worship the image. And they refused to, and the word got out. Word got out to the government, you see, that certain people refused to do what they said. Sounds like Iran to me. Last head count I saw was 16,000 people killed. So this isn't only going on in their time. It's going on outside these doors today. Sounds like the United States of America really as well. So by the way, what a perfect foretaste for how it's going to be at the end of the age, even down to the image. 2,500 years ago, followers of Jehovah God were forced to bow down and worship the image. Now, these three young men refused to do this. They refused to bow down. So consider what you would do as we read through this text here today. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, that was the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you will be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God, small g, who is the God who will deliver you from my hand?" Catch the smugness, right? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you." Now, I love the way the King James reads. It says, "We are not careful to answer thee." I love that. That is, catch the bull in the china shop attitude. I'm not careful. I'm not going to walk on eggshells around you, king. Catch the mindset here of this guy. It's the winning mindset these guys had. They're not going to measure their words carefully. They said, "We are not careful to answer you in this matter." Verse 17, "If that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us, O king." But the next three words is key. Look what he says in verse 18. It says, "But if not," that is, if God does not come through on the midnight hour and save me, "but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we don't serve your gods and we're not going to worship the gold image that you've set up." See, this is the winning mindset. Daniel 1:6 calls them the children of Judah. You know, I don't know, but you know, teenagers sometimes are reckless. Are they not? This is what we need sometimes. Reckless abandon like this. Those who love their lives will lose it, Jesus said. That's what I believe. These guys were teenagers. Remember back when you were a teenager and you didn't give a rip about the consequences or what happened? The things that I did as a teenager, sitting nose to nose with a locomotive going 80 miles an hour, 6 inches from my head, I would never do that. I won't even climb up a ladder anymore. And I would sit in a tunnel when a freight train blew by my skull at 70 miles an hour, sitting here, and the train was right here. That's the winning, that's what these guys had that sometimes seems to be lost on us. I want to look at what they had. I want to look at how they acquired this and then see how we can do the same thing. This is what put Antipas into the bronze kettle. This is what led someone named Polycarp, the first bishop of Smyrna, to freely let those from the synagogue of Satan tie him up to a stake and try to burn him alive. Only to have him speak the words. He said this as an old man. He says, 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. And then he said, bring it on. 90 years old, that's what he said. I won't even climb a ladder. Bring it on. That's the mindset that I want to have. You need it everywhere else in the country right now. You just don't need it here yet. The winning mindset. Being out of the comfort zone was a way of life for these people. And you know what? I want to bottle this. I want some of this elixir. Imagine just taking a swig of this. How old am I? 62. Let me swig it. 62 years I've served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring it on, Smedley. Here's my skull. Bring it on. I'm not going to bow down and worship. Even if I die, I'm still not going to. It's not dependent on me. God's been faithful to me. For these people, it was not a question of watching the dolphin game or going to church. It's a question of, am I going to deny Jesus Christ this afternoon so that my family can survive another day? That's the question that these guys were faced with. The winning mindset. Look again at these three. They said, but if not, we still won't bow down. Could you be this cool? Going into the kettle, could you be this cool? So what is the winning mindset? The winning mindset is a spiritual fortitude, a trust and a faith in God, that God is bigger than your problems. That's my best definition of this. By the way, did you know that God is currently developing and producing this character trait on the inside of you right now? At least he's trying to, if you'll let him. He's trying to develop this. And this is why God tells you to rejoice when it happens to you. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 3. He says, and not only this, but we rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance,
right?
The Greek word, you've heard me teach it in here for 14 years. I've been teaching on this word. The word is hupomeno. Hupo means under. Mene means to abide under. Perseverance. Now, humor me for a minute. Let's personify this word. Let's give it a name. Let's give it a character trait. The osmosis that occurs when you abide under the hand of God, when you are undergoing trials in your life. Let's call this, the osmosis that happens out of this, let's call it nerve. Oomph. A spiritual arrogance. Or as they'd say maybe in the Pentecostal church, a Holy Ghost John Wayne. Pilgrim, right? And he whacks you right in the chin and down you go. It's like a spiritual byproduct of two things, which by themselves won't help you one bit. But once you mix them together, you see, you've got a spiritual nitroglycerin, like hydrogen. By itself, it'll kill you. Go to Saturn and try to breathe it and see what happens to you. Mix that with oxygen. Have a drink. Right? It's the same thing here. Take a little God-ordained tribulation, like sickness, poverty, some personal trial in your life, some test of faith, and add a little, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, the Apostle Peter wrote. Mix those two things together, and what do you got? You got spunk, nerve, fortitude, an attitude. I call it the God compound. But if not, these teenagers said, in a burning fiery furnace, they had it. Polycarp had it. Let it be known to you, we're not going to worship the image and we're not going to bow down to it. The winning mindset is a spiritual fortitude, a trust, and a faith in God that He's bigger than your problems. One more. Well, a lot more. James chapter 1, verse 2. You don't have to turn there. Let me read it. You can turn there if you want. James, in the back of your New Testament, right after the book of Hebrews. You don't have to turn there. But James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, consider it all joy. The NIV says, consider it pure joy. When you encounter various trials. All right, joy and trials. This guy's lost his mind, right? I mean, that's so... Who does that? Rejoices? Count it as pure joy when you're undergoing trials? But he tells you why. Listen to what he says. That's why there's two words, knowing that, are here. There's a purpose that you are undergoing trials in your life. Listen to what he says. Count it all joy when you, one translation says, when you fall. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, there's the word again, hupomeno. It's this thing that gets developed in you when you humble yourself under the hand of God and let Him deliver you when you were undergoing a trial. We're going to see that evidenced in David as a small boy, maybe a teenager as well. Here, coming up in a minute, he's going to be the next one. We're going to find someone else that had this on the inside of them. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, the old NIV has the word develops endurance, just like being in the dark room, right? I've given this example before. Being in God's dark room. When you're in the dark room, don't turn the light on. You gotta just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Let Him see you through what you're going through. Don't ever turn the light on in the dark room or you will ruin the work that God's doing. But rest assured, He'll bring you back in there again and again, and you'll keep undergoing through trials. You'll keep having to do this until you learn to trust in God, because if your name's in the book, He's not going to let you go. You'll undergo it again. And if you cut bait and run, you'll undergo it again. Let's not be stubborn here. Let's trust God here when we're going through this. Let's make this one and done. But I don't think it's ever one and done. There's always another testing for us, right? Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of my faith develops endurance. Notice, too, what develops fortitude. It doesn't say hitting the lottery develops fortitude. It doesn't say finding Uncle Luigi's secret stash of $20 bills hid in his mattress produce fortitude. It doesn't say smooth times of peace and joy, prosperity and ease, living produces endurance. It says the testing of your faith produces endurance. The testing of your faith added to, abiding under the hand of God, develops in you what these people had. Regardless of if Satan sends the test or if God sends the test. Because my Bible says that all things work together for good to those that love God. It doesn't matter who sends it. You're still going to prosper through it. It doesn't matter who sent it. All things work together for good. Now, understand these trials create an osmosis which will enable you to conquer the known world. And God wants you to conquer. Listen to me now. This is why He makes your life difficult today. This is why God makes your life difficult, because he's at work behind the scenes. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is transforming you into a spiritual giant. That's why the Bible can tell you to rejoice when you're undergoing these things, because God is large and in charge. And he's going to do an awesome work through the trial that you are going through. Next up, Psalm 56, verse 9. The spiritual fortitude of King David. Again, you don't need to turn there. You can if you want. Psalm 56, verse 9. Here we got a when and a then and a why. Psalm 56, verse 9. Listen to what he says. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because, all right, you've got a when, you've got a then, and now there's a why. When I call out to you, then all those that hate me aren't going to head for the hills. Why? Because God is for me. You see, the realization that God was for him was all that he needed. Bottle it, put it in a bottle, bring it with you. The realization that God was on David's side, this was all that this man needed. And God is for you as well. What else do you need? God is on your side. They knew it in the Old Testament. Isaiah wrote, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper, because God is for you. This is what develops this kind of stuff. The realization that God is for you will slay and destroy your adversaries. David goes on, in God I have, that's Psalm 56, verse 11, in God I put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Is this your attitude? It should be. That's the attitude that Antipas had to have, if I may speculate. Reckless abandon. Friends, you are not going into the bronze kettle without it. Don't kid yourself. You're not going to go into the bronze kettle like Antipas dad did without having the attitude that he had. God is for me. What are you going to do to me?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I believe in God the Father. Trust him in his presence.